Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I want to mourn the old trees and tell them that we love them.
I've looked at clear cuts and burnt forest, and I've felt outraged. Ah!
We are the crowning glory of God's creation, and all of nature was made for us. Nature is more productive because of us, not less.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Day two.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh!
This is Wretched Radio, day two of Mailbag Week here on Wretched Radio. So if you've got something wretched, would you kindly send it to idea@wretched.org? If you would like to also send questions, comments, conundrums, snarks through the text machine, you can do that at 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question from Anonymous who texted in. Todd, our church regularly uses Bethel music without being an expert in all theological issues and controversies surrounding it. How do I discuss the concerns about their music?
Well, you're going to have to bone up a little bit on the subject. And we've actually done some videos on it. They're on the YouTube machine. So if you just type in Wretched, Bethel, Elevation, you'll find plenty of discussions about the subject and the theology behind that movement. It is outside of Orthodoxy. It is a part of the New Apostolic Reformation movement, despite their protestations that there is no such thing. And this is the arm of Bethel Church in Redding, California. That's at least Bethel Music is the music arm of Bethel Church. They've tried to somehow have a little bit of separation, but no mistaking it, they are basically one in the same. And so you're singing music that is written by a church that is aberrant. That should be problematic. And if you watch those videos, you'll see that. Furthermore, when you're singing those videos and you're paying royalties, they are profiting from you singing their music. So you are, in essence, funding a really, really bad church that is very influential. So once you've studied up on it, pray that you would have the right heart about it and sit down prepared with your worship leader or whatever the person is called who heads up the music or the liturgy, and with your pastor to say, love you guys, so grateful for you guys. I do have some questions. Don't start with accusations. Start with questions. I notice that we sing Bethel music here. Are you familiar with Bethel Church? Are you familiar with Bethel music? Are you familiar with what they teach? Because I've discovered they teach, ding, 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 ding. This is what the movement is about. These are the people with whom they associate. It's a cuckoo factory. The Heidi Bakers. The whole movement is just, quite honestly, fringy, dingy. Are you familiar with that? And because maybe they're going to be like, I have no idea. Hey, what are we doing singing their songs? And they put the kibosh on it right then and there. So start with questions. Are you okay with that? Do you see any issues with that? May I share my concerns with that and have a respectful conversation with them without accusing, asking, and sharing? Then you're going to have to take it from there. It depends on their response. And you'll kind of get a sense of it, toot sweet. They'll either be like, hey, we don't care. We've heard about this. We're singing it. It's really popular. Well, okay. They might say, hey, give us some time on this. We need to study this. Great. Then give them some time and determine a date when you can follow up. If they refuse to change, would that be a reason for leaving a church? And the answer to that is it depends. Is it a good church? Is it everything about it otherwise biblical? That should weigh very, very heavy. Furthermore, do you have any options? that would be an important thing to consider, because if you don't have any better options where the teaching is as good, then you might just have to plug your nose and endure it while you're there. It's not my favorite either, but it in and of itself, unless, of course, they're singing something that's overtly heretical, which I don't think there is with anything that on Bethel, because there's nothing deep enough to actually be considered heretical in their music. I think you can put up with it and not complain and not crab and not be a thorn in the flesh of leadership. Do your best to be super respectful of them when you go in. Share your concerns passionately with them for the sake of the purity of the church, to make sure that you're not leading people into a false system, that we're not funding a really bad movement, and see how they respond. That will tell you everything. Are there other issues in the church? Are there other things happening? Now, I will say this. Not definitively, not necessarily, not all the time, but it is my observation that a church that overlooks the purity of worship and incorporates Bethel and elevation music into their worship, it probably won't be long before you start seeing other things. Because if they can't discern that and protect the people from false teachers and false music, then you're probably just keep, don't become like censorious and hypercritical, but keep your eye open, because it might not be the end of the compromise. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Tana, I wanted your input on a situation with my in-laws. They're nominal Muslims and have no interest in my evangelistic efforts. Throughout my marriage, they have disrespected me numerous times. My mother-in-law has been passive-aggressive. My father-in-law has made crude and rude comments toward my family and me regarding our faith and political stance. My husband has never stepped in to defend me. I now only see them twice a year because of boundaries I've put in place. I count this as a shame, but feel it necessary. I know you said in-laws should be treated like parents, but mine are annoying at best and toxic and rude at worst. What is your take on maintaining my boundaries with them?
You know, if you don't mind, I understand the sensitivity of the subject, but let's use a different word than boundaries because of the amount of baggage that's attached to it. It's a secular term, mostly, although there have been some Christians that have also coined that term, used that term. I don't think it's a biblical or healthy or helpful term, because boundaries are to be drawn quickly with very high walls for the sake of your good. That's just not a Christian attitude toward the in-laws or, frankly, toward anybody. Our desire should be to have a relationship. Our desire should be to help people. Our desire should be to turn the other cheek when we're offended by them. And yes, there can be times when, for the sake of safety, and it could be familial safety, where they're just so nasty that you have to, after a number of steps and warnings, tell them, we're going to have to stop seeing you for a season until we can get this issue under control. The moment we do, we're going to be back together with you. Now, that's just different than the secular concept of boundaries. So I'm just going to jettison that term. And just restate, yes, there can be times when that is necessary, can be, but it should always be with the door cracked open, that you want to restore, you want to reconcile, you want things to be right, and you provide an opportunity for them to do that. Now, I do believe that multiple steps should be taken before that even happens. It needs to start out with some loving warnings, see how they do. If it continues, the warnings need to get amped up, and they need to become more stern until you finally have to say, this is not what I want, but if this continues, you leave me no other option than please, please stop, and see how they do. Now, having said all of that, would like to address a very important player in this dynamic, and that would be the son of your in-laws, your husband. Why isn't he protecting you? Why isn't he getting between you and the parents to make sure that they're not able to hurt you in any way? Now, I don't know if you've talked to him or not, so this might be obvious, but you do need to sit down with your husband and respectfully ask him to step up and step in because of what's happened. Bring the evidence, bring how it's affected you, bring your concerns to him, and simply ask him as the spiritual leader of the house, who I believe, 1 Peter 2 or 3, talks about the husband, the illusion that is given with Peter is that it's a protecting role. It's a loving role and a protecting role. And you ask him to protect you. He should be the one doing that. And in fact, I would even say this. He should be doing that if it were your parents. He should be the one doing that if it were your parents against him. That's his role and that's his job. Should he not be willing to play that? What recourse do you have? Well, depending, of course, on how bad it is, you could involve an elder to talk to him about that. Don't just say, well, he's not going to do it, so I'm taking this into my own hands. No, because that's a big issue. And your husband, for whatever reason, needs to understand his role. Now, maybe he's going to bring something to the party that explains things or moderates things to a degree, but nevertheless, don't give up and deal with it yourself. It's your hubby's role and responsibility. This is Wretched Radio.
You know, we've raised a generation of kids who can sing every word about Jesus, but they still can't say why the Bible is true. And the world, well, they've earned that because they've spent years teaching our children that truth bends and that science outgrew God. And the reasons are there. Logic, morality, the very laws that make science work, and every single one of them points back to a creator. And when you give kids that, faith stops being something they hope is true and becomes something they know is true. And it also spreads because they share it clearer with everyone around them. That's exactly what the series Irrefutable Proof of Creation with Dr. Jason Lyle was built for. It's a biblical formation for a generation that needs answers. They need real ground to stand on, not just a good feeling, and that's what Dr. Lyle is doing. New episodes of Irrefutable Proof of Creation streaming right now and dropping weekly on Fortis Plus. You can download the app on your smartphone, your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.com.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is Scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Attributes of God. The Bible tells us of God's goodness. God does not measure up to an external standard of goodness. He is the standard. Because everything God does is, by definition, good, we can trust that God will do what is right in every situation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dude, this is Wretched Radio. A whole lot of chatter on the internet these days about what it looks like to be a man, the manosphere, who the traction that it continues to gain as young men seek these supposed role models to teach them how to be a man. They're longing for something hard. Well, here's something hard for you. You want something hard, dude? You want something difficult? You want something challenging? I can give you a list. Let's start with the aforementioned email. Protect your wife. Protect your wife. I'm talking about any realm. I even work. I would even say work. If your wife is in the workplace and she's got a boss that's being a monster, now she should talk to him first to bring it to his attention. She should go through the appropriate channels. But if necessary, dude, you jump. That's right. That's right. A husband calling somebody's boss. Why? Because the realm doesn't matter. Your role that has been prescribed for you is to protect your wife. That's hard. And I don't know why so many men neglect that responsibility when it seems so many men are looking for something big to do. And I think I know the answer. These things are harder. The stuff that the manosphere promotes, going to the gym a lot, that's easy compared to having a conversation with the parents of my wife to keep them from treating her poorly. That's harder than going to the gym regularly. These are harder things. Here's another thing you could try. How's about repenting to your spouse? Whew, you want something hard? Say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness, sir. That's a hard thing. Try this. Here's another one for your list of difficult man things. Be humble with your children. 4, show your children that you need Jesus. You can apologize to your children too. These are hard things, but they are the things that we are called to do. And there is a great deal of satisfaction in those things. Why? Because you're doing what God has prescribed for you to be doing. So, sir, based on the aforementioned email, how are you doing in those categories? How are you doing in protecting your wife, repenting to your wife and kids, being humble in your home? If not, adjust. Make an adjustment. Make an adjustment. But get on it, because that is your responsibility. Please send your thoughts, your comments, your whatever, to idea@wretched.org or text away to 877-282-2337. Hey, Jimmy.
Uh-huh.
Going to be doing an interview. Do you know Nick Freitas?
Yes.
Yeah. Doing a sit-down with him. He wrote, the book is in my office. I started reading it too. It's a manhood book.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a believer. And it's got all, it's got man stuff, you know, like to do a pit maneuver. I'm not sure I'm ever going to need it, but should I need it? If I read that chapter, I'm going to know how to do, how to cook a steak, how to love your wife, how to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. It's a man book. So you know who I'm going to, do you remember that young man who wrote last week about, he first of all confessed that he had a porn issue, a struggle with that he's overcoming. Praise God for that. But then he asked the question that kind of stymied you and me. How do I go about the business of like asking a girl out?
Oh, yeah.
Something I never pondered as a young man. Just never, it's like, well, you know, how do you make a phone call? Well, you pick it up and you push the numbers and you make the phone call. You walk up to a girl and you introduce yourself and you ask her out. I never really contemplated it, but I don't think he's the only one who is. And Jimmy, you had a really good jump start on it. I think it's revealing issues that I think are deeper in this generation, because of the way that they grew up and the environment in which they grew up.
Yeah.
Confidence, courage, just not fearing man. being able to start a conversation, those things.
Taking initiative.
Taking initiative, yeah. Another issue. And I don't think it's a fault of their own. It's just the culture in which they grew up, even sometimes with good Christian parents. Because those, I'm telling you, these rascally cell phones, these video games, if they were destroyed, I would not care. Honestly, if they all just went away, I think it would be better. And hold on a second. I didn't think I'd be able to use this. There's a thing in the Dealey Bob. Don't make me explain. Yeah, there's a thing in the Dealey Bob. It was a news story about a young man who decided, I'm getting rid of my cell phone. And then he decided, and it went pretty well. And so he asked his buddies to do kind of an experiment to say, hey, how does this affect you by using a flip phone instead of a cell phone? And guess what? They improved too. They just thought that their quality of life was better.
Scroll, tap, repeat. For many people, doom scrolling on their smartphone has become second nature. That's how it was for Jarrett Gross.
I always felt like I wasted a lot of time, and it was also hard to stop.
Last November, the 17-year-old decided to make some changes. So he ditched his smartphone for a flip phone where he could not access social media apps and started noticing improvements in his overall well-being.
It's pretty good. I like it way better. I think life is better on a flip phone.
He wanted to know if those changes could be measured. So he asked some of his closest friends to take part in a case study. They switched to flip phones for a couple months while a psychologist conducted before and after brain scans. Dr. Blake Osmos led the experiment, which included a questionnaire.
In the measures for depression and stress levels, as well as anxiety, they dropped like immediately.
And for the brain scans,
what we saw is a decrease of those alpha brainwaves in the frontal lobe, which can be correlated with brain fog.
Most of Gross's friends eventually returned to their smartphones, but he is still committed to his flip phone. The teen joins a growing trend of people seeking them out.
Just knock your phone.
Jerry Edda runs an e-commerce business selling refurbished cell phones and says more and more people want the old school version.
5 years.
Can't blame him.
It used to be just seniors that are buying flip phones. But right now we are seeing even the younger generation.
Even the younger generation. Because they know that it is affecting them. And I think that it has affected a generation in profound ways, including not being able to walk up to a young lady and engage in a conversation. So I'm going to ask Nick Freitas about that.
That would be good.
And hope he doesn't beat me up. He was a Green Beret. He's a man you don't want to agitate, is what I'm saying. We'll share that when I get that back. He's going to be the one who helps us answer that question. If you have a question, a comment, a conundrum, or snark, please send it to idea@wretched.org.
All right, this is from Jana. Todd, if someone asks you to convince them or tell them how to convert to Christianity in 30 seconds, how am I to respond?
You can practice it. That's what you should do. You can practice it. I can do it in under 5 seconds. Let me just 3, 2. God is holy. You've broken God's laws. You deserve his wrath. Jesus died for sinners. Believe in him. Okay, I did it. That was 5 seconds.
It was.
Who, what? We are going to present a resource. It will be free. We're producing it right now. It'll be on fortisplus.org. It's the lectures that I've been giving at universities to train young people how to evangelize. And the components are who, what. You've got to get all of that in 30 seconds. Now, it's not going to be, of course, as powerful as a longer presentation so you can unpack each one of these W words. Nevertheless, who is God? Holy. Who are we? Sinful. What should God do with us? Damn us. What has he done for us? Sent his son to die to save us. What must we do in response? Repent and put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now, that was probably less than 30 seconds. You can fill that out as much as you have with the extra 8 seconds. But you can rehearse that and you can present that. But please note this, if you're ever in that situation, and it's probably not super likely, don't feel horrible if you can't get like a complete thorough job. Do what you can with the time that you've got. And if you get cut off, if it gets shortened, you come to the end of the bus stop, then that's what the Lord will use. That's what the Lord wanted you to do. Now, having said that, when you do have the time, then you must, that is in all caps, must get all of the who, what's in there. Otherwise, your gospel presentation won't make any sense. Skip the holiness of God and suddenly sending us to hell for our sins. Whoa, that seems kind of mean. You must include every element. You must include that we are sinners. Otherwise, the death of Jesus makes no sense. You must include all of those elements if you are going to give a gospel presentation that is coherent. If you don't, yikes, then I think we're failing. Will God use it? Sure. And does he understand when we don't have the time to smash everything in? Of course he does. But when you do, if we are going to be good and faithful witnesses, we must include all elements of the gospel. If you don't know how to do that, we do have resources at FortisPlus.org, and they happen to be free. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Schools and hospitals in Minnesota are preparing to hand four-year-olds a doll with removable genitals. The toys came out of the University of Minnesota, a taxpayer-funded school marketed for children as old as 10. The New York Post called them a transgender Mr. Potato Head, swappable body parts, swappable clothes, over 100 pieces. The professors behind it said the goal is teaching kids that what's real isn't your body, it's how you feel. And the past president of the American College of Pediatricians called it a grooming tool. Kids that age kind of still believe in the tooth fairy, don't they? They can't sort fantasy from reality, which is exactly why they're the target here. Minnesota's governor sends that medical school $15 million a year, but I don't think anyone is surprised by it. In Seattle, police have identified a 15-year-old and a 19-year-old as the gunmen who opened fire in a crowd of families at a food festival recently that draws 350,000 people annually. The 19-year-old was killed along with two bystanders, a woman in her 50s and a man in his 40s. Four more were wounded, including a two-year-old boy standing next to his mother. He's expected to recover. Police are still looking for a third suspect. The response afterward drew its own criticism. City officials waited nearly 5 hours to say anything publicly with the gunman still on the loose. And when the mayor finally spoke, she opened with a speech about gun violence until a reporter cut in and asked her to just say what happened. Across the country, New York's mayor found his own way to rattle the people he governs. His finance department published a searchable database, names and home addresses of every owner hit by the city's new second home tax on properties over $1 million that aren't a primary residence. He had teased that tax a week earlier by filming himself outside a billionaire's penthouse and telling wealthy New Yorkers, quote, "You've got mail." The list went up days after an extremist allegedly firebombed a federal immigration building in Manhattan. And that's a strange week to hand the internet a list of addresses. New federal numbers out recently show marijuana has passed alcohol and cigarettes as America's most common daily habit. 21.4 million people now use it daily or close to it, compared with 19.9 million daily smokers and 17.2 million daily drinkers. That's a first, and it lands as the administration moves to reclassify marijuana into a lighter category. Maybe you want to argue that the old penalties were too harsh? Well, it's harder to argue that 21 million Americans that need this stuff every day represents a country that's doing well. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus, or you can sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both of those things can be done at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Nehemiah is the continuing story of exiles returning from Babylonian captivity. In this book, the people rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and renew the covenant under the leadership of Nehemiah. Despite opposition, the wall is rebuilt in 52 days, and it's perceived as a work wrought by God. God will bless that work which brings him honor. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
got a bad feeling about this. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, that's by AI?
Yes, that's by AI.
You did this.
A year or two ago.
I'm sitting here in my sound folder. I hit the play button and it's singing. The title of it is Wretched Radio. So you asked AI to, how much did you have to prompt it?
I don't remember. I think I gave it a lot of things, and I had it write the song, and then I went to an AI song generator to sing it.
Because you don't really, if you've got a lot of stuff even out on the internet, you don't need to tell it. So for instance, if you wanted to write a song about the Sean Hannity program, you wouldn't need to explain what you were looking for because it's got so much stuff out there.
Right.
They'd write a song about Sean Hannity, something about being agitated about everything. The point is, this is what they came up with for Wretched Radio.
Uh-huh.
I think this might hurt.
Every day we tune in to a show that's truly grand. With Todd and Jimmy guiding us through this sinful land.
Oh, let's see there, Dad. No. No, we're not. That's dumb.
From the streets on Wednesday to the mailbag every week, we learn to preach the gospel strong to the humble and the meek.
And the voice actually sounds pretty real.
Yeah, kind of.
Process, but it's, you know, pretty real sounding.
Oh, Richard Radio.
Brother.
Where truth is boldly told.
That sounds like kind of 90s Christian contemporary.
Preach the gospel, teach the way. Let the message unfold. Strengthen the local church. It's our favorite thing to do.
Strengthen the local church?
Yeah, it's our favorite thing to do.
That's good.
With Todd and Jimmy leading us, we'll see it all come true.
I'm not sure I'm leading anybody.
And this is the same software, Pastor, that's going to write your sermon? Oh, I think not. Oh, bridge. Kind of catchy.
Witness Wednesdays out there, evangelizing the lost. With live encounters, sharing faith, whatever be the cost. And Fridays, we answer questions.
Nope, we are doing that all week. Welcome back to Wretched Radio. Send your questions, comments. Enough of that. Questions, comments. I couldn't even get... Did we get to the bridge?
I don't know.
Typically, you got to be there by a minute. Yeah. That's the songwriting rule. That's as much as we can get, 59 seconds. Please send your whatever to idea@wretched.org, or please feel free to text away to 877-282-2337 as we continue Mailbag Week on Wretched Radio.
This is from Joseph. Todd, if I remember correctly.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, if I remember correctly.
You started this.
I 2 years ago. Todd, if I remember correctly, you said that babies that pass for various reasons, such as miscarriage or the baby was born as a stillborn, go to heaven. Does that mean that they're perfect?
Oh, in heaven? Yes. Does that mean? No, it doesn't. Now, babies are born with a sin nature. The difference between a baby and somebody who is able to know that they are sinning willfully is knowledge. And so we call it typically the term that evangelicals have adopted, and I don't think it's a bad term, is an age of accountability. I think level of accountability is an even better word, because age indicates, what is it, 7, 9, 12? What are we talking about here? Because everybody's maturation process is different. The difference between a baby who dies who doesn't believe in Jesus and a 40-year-old who dies and doesn't believe in Jesus is that the 40-year-old has been sinning willfully for years. A baby has no rap sheet, has no criminal record. That does not mean, however, that they're not totally depraved. The difference is they aren't exercising it willfully, and therefore they don't have a debt to God. Therefore, when they die, they're ushered into the presence of King Jesus. He is the one who is responsible for their salvation. But even though they couldn't exercise saving faith, simultaneously, they couldn't exercise damning sin. Therefore, Jesus takes them to heaven. That was the tweet right there. That was it right there. They don't exercise saving faith, but they haven't exercised damning sin. I think I like that.
I'm keeping
that one.
I'm glad you said it again.
Yep, for the future. Because I think that summarizes it right there. That means if you've had a miscarriage, that means if you've lost a child, however that happened, You can look forward to seeing your baby in heaven. And I state that with a great deal of confidence. I think the Bible screams it in over 20 verses that point toward the kindness of God in saving babies, because even though they don't have saving faith, they haven't committed damning sin. Trademarked right there. 877-282-2337.
If you say it three times, it's copyrighted.
Well, Rick Warren got purpose. He tried to. Do you know that?
Did he really?
Yeah, I think so.
He tried to trademark the word
purpose.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, he got purpose driven. Well, that's his book. That's his intellectual property. So he can trademark that if he wants to, but not the word purpose.
No.
It would be like me trademarking the word serve. Because it's in my next book, Go Serve Your King.
Right.
Well, I'm afraid you can't do that, son. That's kind of, we all get that. We all own that word, not you.
That's right. All right. This is from Steve. Todd, I've been a Christian for a few decades, but my current problems have me bamboozled. I am retired, but can hardly participate in any ministry opportunities due to severe sciatica. I want to do more, but everything is painful, so I do nothing. And because of that, my soul is withering away. What can I do?
You can still do stuff, Steve. You can. You can talk. You can type. That means you can pray a lot. I really do think I've been giving this some thought because I think we have a propensity to say to young people, you would do well to spend a day in the house of mourning, and much better than a day in the house of celebration. In other words, it's better to go to a funeral than to a wedding because you learn more. And we try to encourage young people, hey, think about your death. I think we did that 2 weeks ago. Think about your death. That was the thrust, I think, of Psalm 73. Think about your death. It'll help you with your sins. It'll help you with your emotions. It'll help you with your decisions. Think about your death, young person. Well, I don't think we should stop doing that, because I think the more time we spend pondering it, the better prepared we'll be. I know, just my personality bent, sitting in a wheelchair in an assisted care facility, that's going to be hard. It's going to be frustrating. And so I better prepare for that. I better prepare, I think, for two things. And Steve, I can think of three ways for you, Steve. Two, if you're sitting in an assisted care facility. Number one, prepare to pray. I know that praying is hard. We do need more prayer warriors. We really do. And I wonder if seniors could fill that role. Doesn't mean the rest of us are let off the hook, but just because of limitations, that is definitely something you can do, and it's so important that you do that. Second, you can evangelize. You can do it on the internet. You can do it with the people that you meet. Now, depending on your ability, if you can get out at all, the people who visit, be an evangelist. If you're in an assisted care facility, this was actually, I think she meant it as a joke, but it was really comforting when Mrs. Friel said, oh, I can just see you in a nursing home in a wheelchair. You're just going to be cornering people. Would you consider
yourself to be a good person?
I had to do that without my teeth.
Over applesauce.
Over. with cinnamon. You can witness to people, even in an assisted care facility. Steve, the third thing that you could do, and you might need to involve your elders in this, but you, sir, are an elder saint. You're a senior saint. That means you've got wisdom, and we want it. Young people need it. That means you can dole it out. Let your elders know, I'm willing to sit down with young people and talk to them and counsel them and listen to them and help them and pray with them and teach them, for instance, how to read the Bible, how to study better, how to handle their finances, whatever skill it is that you could download to them, ask if you could still be involved. And then you can be doing ministry. Now, having said all of that, Steve, if because of your physical limitations, I think prayer, if nothing else, prayer is something that you can continue to do, but war against not letting your soul be withered, because the Lord understands. He knows your limitations. He knows them. And while perhaps it's withering because you want to exercise your gifts, please don't include in that withering a sense of guilt or shame because you're not able to do those things. And if I could toss this in, Afriel, apparently you're going to. Does your church involve seniors? Do you make an effort to do that? We are starting to do that more this fall. And we've even got two ways that your church might be able to do the exact same thing, because it is a tragedy the way that we've got this segregation model inside of churches. You got senior ministries, you got young marrieds, you got singles, you got high school, and they're all separate. And guess what? They all have gifts, they all have skills, they all have strengths that could be exercised better if church life were done in an integrated fashion. Would you like that for your church? I'll share with you how we are doing that at Alpharetta Bible Church next on Wretched Radio.
Trust the science. You've heard it a million times, usually right before someone uses it to shut a conversation down instead of open one up. But science is a tool, it's not a judge. And like any tool, it depends on who's holding it and what they already believe. Think about it. Two scientists can look at the exact same data and walk away with opposite conclusions because each one brought a different worldview to the table. Science also leans on a few things it can't prove: that the universe stays orderly and that our minds can actually grasp truth. Both make the most sense if a rational God made it all. You take him out of the picture and you're left trusting that chaos somehow adds up. That's where In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle comes in. He's a PhD astrophysicist. He'll teach you to read the science headlines without getting played. New episodes of In the Beginning are dropped every single Wednesday on every single podcast platform in existence or at fortisplus.org. Have you ever wanted to take a tour of Europe but you couldn't swing the airfare? Good news! Todd Friel's already gone for you. Our resource On the Shoulders of Giants takes you across six countries to meet your Christian ancestors, the Reformers, the men who were strangled, quartered, and burned alive so you could hold a Bible in your own language and understand the gospel of grace. You'll see the stake where Jan Hus was burned to death, the prison where William Tyndale translated scripture, the very courtroom where John Wycliffe was called monstrously wicked. You'll visit Martin Luther's home, the field where George Whitefield preached to 30,000 people without a microphone, and the outdoor pulpit of the thundering Scot himself, John Knox. These people were too good for this world, and their lives will challenge you to be bolder than ever before. On the Shoulders of Giants, it is streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Download the app where you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply visit fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, there's no shortage of voices telling women how to handle anxiety, how to navigate relationships, how to find their identity. Honestly, most of it sounds pretty good until you realize it's just self-help slapped with Bible verses. That's not the same thing as biblical wisdom. And that's why we at Fortis Institute present to you The Better Way with Libby Glosson. Libby is an ACBC certified biblical counselor, and she's not just interested in giving you coping strategies. No, Libby's desire is to take you to scripture and show you what God actually says about the things that you're actually walking through. And this is the kind of content our gospel partners are making possible. If the content we're producing at Fortis Institute has been meaningful to you, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Just go to fortisinstitute.org right now and find out what it would look like for you to be a part of getting content like The Better Way into the hands of women who need it. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Dissonance. I'm experiencing internal dissonance in here. Somebody help me. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, I'm flummoxed.
Flummoxed.
That's right, I'm flummoxed. Yeah.
That's a good word.
I'm flummoxed. Okay, are you tighter today than you were before you got saved? In other words, are you more frugal now than you were when you were a pagan?
Absolutely.
Me too. Yeah. I was frugal then. I'm like, squeak right now with when it comes to money. There's another thing that you don't really want to know, but I'm going to share it with you anyway. When I talk, I spit a lot. Friel, did we really? Hey, this is my cry for help. Please hear me. So here's the deal. We did some shuffling around here of equipment. So Jimmy, he's whining about needing new equipment after 10 years. So we got some new equipment, and then we kind of did a rearranging of the furniture here. So we took a lovely table from a different set and brought it in here to the radio studio. Before, I didn't care that I spit all over that cheap table that I was using, but this table is nice. So Jimmy, it just dawned on me as I'm sitting here talking, I'm spitting all over this beautiful table. I can't spit on it because it's ruining. I'm ruining a table and it hurts my Jack Benny like heart. But if I don't talk, it's dead air. But maybe I think we could all affirm. Maybe I should just zip it.
So it bothers
save the table.
It bothers you that you're spitting on the table, which actually answers a question for me. You don't even realize you did this. But after our equipment shuffle, I asked you about cutting holes in that table to hide some wires.
No.
And the look you gave me, you didn't even answer. You just looked at me and I thought, why is he looking at me like that? Makes sense now.
You couldn't cut a hole in this lovely table.
Yeah, I understand now.
We used it on a TV set. And I don't know if you can't really hear that, but it's solid. It's one of those tables where it's like one of those farmhouse tables. Mm. It's lovely. And I know you can't see it, but I know I'm spitting all over it and I'm dying a little bit on the inside. If you can help me with my flummoxation, my flummoxing, my conundrum, 877-282-2337. And here perhaps is a solution to your conundrum. If your local church is not integrating generations, I have two things that you might want to ponder. One of them I've mentioned before, and that is a software that Brian is developing. Greg's helping him from our church. He's helping him to create a software for your church website that will allow you to list that people can have their profile and say, here's all the things I'm willing to help with. And so if somebody needs help with it, they can just go there, find it, and boink, they get put together. Not a program. It's just helping people to do ministry and life together. So I wrote, for instance, a bunch of things that could be listed there. So if you've got a profile there, here's all the things that you could possibly list, which means then if somebody goes to the website and they search for one of these things, your name is going to pop up and you can help them. And this will help intergenerationally. I think you'll pick that up as I read this list, that you're willing to, for instance, mentor young fathers in biblical leadership and provision, disciple young women, teach young mothers practical homemaking skills, invite younger believers into your home for hospitality, help young adults learn budgeting and debt avoidance, teach basic car maintenance and home repair skills, pray regularly with younger church members one-on-one, help younger believers learn how to study scripture, invite young couples into your home to model and discuss faithful marriage. Okay, it goes on and on and on. You get the point. And that way, if somebody's younger and they're needing wisdom, they go to the little software dealy bob, boink, your name pops up and you get together. I love that. Why? Because there is a treasure of wisdom in seniors. Gray hair shouts, we know a lot of stuff. We got a lot of wisdom up here. Want any? And this will allow the generations to integrate. Here's another way to do it. We're becoming a little bit more intentional, if you will, a little bit more organized with some of the different, I don't want to undermine what I'm saying here, identifying groups that can get together to benefit from one another because they also share like interests. So to have a senior ministry, to have a young married's ministry, and to have a single young adult ministry. And you say, well, wait a second, you're segregating. Well, yes, we are. That isn't necessarily a crime that they get together because of like-mindedness and like interest. But here's how we're making it integrated. If you are, let's just say, the young marrieds, the encouragement is whatever event that you do this month with your group, whether it's getting together for a barbecue, you want to go bowling together, whatever it is, you get together, but invite a senior, better yet, a senior couple, to come to the group and spend 15 minutes talking about a subject. This is what I've learned about arguing with my wife, for instance. This is what I've learned about how to have peace in the home. This is what I learned about. And just share it, informal, share it. People can ask questions, and then the senior can go on their way. That's integrating the groups. And it's downloading the wisdom from the senior into the younger marrieds so that they can grow and have wisdom. It'll bless the youth and it'll bless the senior. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, then who comes to the senior group? A young person. Young person could teach a senior something too, you know. They can share, hey, this is what's going on with our generation. Hey, if you didn't know, this is what it's like at university these days. And that way the generations are helping one another. It's not like this is your clique, that's my clique, and ne'er the twain shall meet. No, they are integrated. So maybe, just maybe, those are things that perhaps if you find value in them, you could integrate in your church. Because while I think it's perfectly fine to have different groups, to keep them apart all the time, I just think both parties lose. That's all. Just both parties lose. I can't wait to hear the sweet stories that come out of it. Can't wait. If you're older, you're an older saint. Can you just imagine what this would feel like? Somebody who's 28 approaches you. Hey, we're doing this young marrieds thing, and we know that you've been married for like 40 years. Would you be willing to come and talk to us about how you were able to be married for 40 years? Oh, how honoring is that? And you know what? How smart is that? It's like this, to not do this, in my estimation, get ready, Jimmy, I'm going to try an illustration. It would be like a poor person walking by a wheelbarrow full of cash and not availing themselves of the money that's sitting there. There it is. There's the wisdom in your church. There's everything you need to know about marriage right there. Well, we don't want to integrate the two because it's so easy. Just put them together and let both parties be blessed. 877-282-2337 on Mailbag Week. I'm Wretched.
This is from Dakota, a text from Dakota. Todd, I strongly disagree with how my church spends money. Millions are spent on renovations and loans are being taken out for new sound systems. I want to stop tithing to my church and start giving to Christian nonprofits instead. But I'm torn in that not tithing to my church, which is an SBC church. I feel like you should tithe to your church. And so, but what I'm saying is I don't trust the elders appointed over me. So I really don't know what to do.
Why don't you trust them? That's the key to this conversation, because somebody could advise, well, ask to see the books, see how they're spending the money. I wouldn't take that tact. And my question, I think, if I could make it even more pointed, do you not trust them because you don't like the way they're spending money, or do you not trust them because of a character defect? There's a huge difference, because if you've made the decision, I don't trust them because I don't like their spending habits, I personally would encourage you to jettison that thinking, because I'm going to suggest something. Now, please note, if you ever really think that your elders are just spending money like this is kooky, do you have the right as a congregational member to ask them to see the books? Absolutely, you do. You can take a look at them. Now, having said that, I think it is better to assess their character. Are these godly men in general? Have you been there long enough to notice and observe that these guys, they love the Lord, they love their families, they love the church, they're trying hard? Because if you recognize that those elders are meeting the qualifications of being an elder, then I would encourage you to trust their spending decisions. Trust them. Don't base your trust on how they're spending the money. Base your trust on their character and then trust that they're spending the money rightly. Now, yes, please note, I already gave the caveat. You do have the right to ask about the books if you have some concern. That's fine. But I would still encourage you, don't make your assessment of the elders based on how they spend the dough. make it based on how you see them interacting with the church, how they behave in front of the congregation, how much time they sacrifice for others, how they treat other people in the congregation. Assess that. And then I know this might be hard. If you've got elders that are godly and they're trying, they're not going to spend every penny perfectly. Hopefully they don't spit all over the radio desk, but you can trust them and you can rest in that and not have to fret, knowing that you don't give money to a church. You're giving your money to the Lord. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.